Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pitch and a fly ball to center field. Back is Cruz, warning track, and he'll have room to make the catch. Final out, that could be the final batter for Paul Skeens. A 1-2-3 sixth. Six shutout innings for Skeens.
Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The man behind that call waits for us on said fan hotline right now. Pirates broadcaster Greg Brown joins us a little bit early today, but we're happy to accommodate him, especially coming off another dominant Paul Skeens effort. Brownie, first and foremost, though, I felt bad for Zangrilli. He pinch hit for Joe Block, very excited for him. We were all pumped for him. And I was hoping he'd have like a signature moment, maybe a Cruz laser beam home run or somebody, you know, a terrific play that saved the game. And they just gave him three flapjacks, three flat performances. He was given nothing. The artist was given no paint for his easel.
I agree with you. I felt terrible for him. I'm happy for him. Not surprised how good he is, how good he was. But he'll get more shots. This is not just a one.
He already let us know. He let us in on it. He said there's going to be a Cubs, at least a game or maybe a series against the Cubs where he's going to get another crack at it. So we were very excited. I'm curious, did he ask you for any, was there any kind of, on Dan's part, hey, Greg, how have you done this? Or like, I have a question about this random part of the broadcast or how you do things. Any appeals to you for a little
advice? Really, not really, because I've known him since he was a broadcaster for the Altoona Curve. So I've known him forever. We chat a lot, he doesn't need advice from me. I mean, he's, my gosh, I told him, I was driving around this winter and heard the high school football. I think he was doing the playoffs, right, at times?
Yeah, he does the high school football, yeah, for 100.1 FM and 1020.
So good. And I said that to him. I shouldn't have been surprised, but I kind of was like, wow, this guy's really good. And I heard him do baseball play-by-play years ago. So he didn't need advice from me. I guess the one thing I did tell him was like, my gosh, you know, this isn't a one shot deal. You'd be doing this more often. And, you're so good. And you know, he's humble about it.
But we do love giving him a hard time here though, because when he'll do the preview shows, sometimes he likes to, I think he does it now. He leans into it. He would get the Padres in town and he'd call them the Friars, the Monsignors. He had like a team nickname, yes, Thesaurus, that we would just love, the Baby Bears for the Cubs. Greg Giannotti back in the day used to just revel in delight in all the names that Dan would come up with for these teams. But yeah, I said to him yesterday, because we had him on, Greg, I said, man, like you have bad stretches of baseball in any given year for any team, but he was given really very little to work with in that series. I just could not... I couldn't believe it. I don't think the team even hit a home run in those three games. I thought he'd at least get to do some sort of a home run call, and he was robbed the chance to do that.
Three flatliners for him, just right off the bat. It was a shame. I'm glad it's not a one-off. I'm glad he'll be doing more, and they'll be playing better baseball the next time. But yeah, he got maybe the three worst games of the year.
And I really can't argue with that. I actually I was at the Saturday game, and my kids were playing on the playground in right field because they're 6 and 3, so it's hard to get them to sit still for, you know, 3-plus hours or whatever it might take, and that was when everything went to pot, so maybe I need to plant my fanny in the seat next time and not, you know, better things will happen for this team. Greg, I'll use that, though, to transition to this. Man, it felt like if I'm trying to tie those games to last night, you just start to feel like the hope for the Pirates sooner rather than later can somehow be that instead of having to stop ugly losing skids or ugly stretches of baseball, that Paul Skeens is extending winning streaks where the Pirates win two or three in a row and then have a really good opponent, but you just know you can send that guy out there and get that kind of result. That was... from as bad of a three-game stretch as I can remember them playing this year, too, given the quality of opponent, one of the more impressive starts he or anybody has made for this team this year. That looked too easy for him last night.
Yeah, it looked like it.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Definition of a stopper, Chris, really, and that's what he is. He's the man. He's pitched like that since his debut in May of last year, but it was almost like he decided, and he looked fresh, you know, having not pitched since just that one inning, three batters on Tuesday. They gave him extra rest. He was revved. He was ready to go. And just almost like he was going to – the Pirates are going to win the game. It was his determination. Okay, enough is enough. We are going to go out there, and I'm going to just continue to put out zeros until you guys score some runs, and we'll win this thing. And, yeah, I agree with you, too, that in the not-too-distant future, you want him to either begin a long winning streak or continue one. And well, I guess which is both, and it's what we figured when he came on board that he was going to, and that's why it was so peculiar that they've had such long, you know, but relatively long losing streaks the last couple of years, because you thought when he came on board they won't be able to have long. It'll stop at four, day five it'll be schemes and the losing streak will end. But, you know, it's the same old story.
Unfortunately,
about
this team
offense
has taken that as almost a challenge. Oh, wait a minute. Seven shutout innings. We can get the man a no decision. I mean, that's been the bummer to watch offensively. So we're going to talk at least one more time, Greg, before the trade deadline hits. But can you remember covering this team as you have for many years? Can you remember maybe a more interesting one where there is uncertainty swirling about the man who will be making the moves, but, you know, absent that, he's got to try to figure out a way to make this team better in the very short term, but it's probably going to take at least one of the assets that's made them pretty good. I'm talking about Keller here, to get the kind of returns that might actually move the needle on the other side with the hitting. It does feel like, from a lot of perspectives, a very interesting deadline to follow, and they are a very interesting team to follow during all of this.
I would agree with you that this is such a peculiar and unique, unusual moment in recent history because of what you just stated, Chris. In the past, you knew that they were going to be starting over, essentially. It was around the All-Star break. They were going to regroup, and it was a rebuild. The players that have been dealt in the past. And then on the other side, in fact, most of the time when there have been significant trades leading up to the deadline, it's been to tweak, to bring in some bats or a pitcher, Jay Happ, Marlon Byrd, whoever it might be. Sean Dunstan back in 1997.
Oh, I remember Sean. Two home runs in his first game, I believe.
Yep. Yes, he did. And but this is so unusual because they are not going to rebuild. They are going to try and build for next year to win next year. And I know that was the goal coming into this year. It didn't happen. So now this chore, this task, is to try and bring in a bat or two without totally dismantling and disrupting what's they believe is the basis for a foundation for a team that can win. And as we've said so many times, it's nothing newsworthy. It's not genius, but they don't have to score many runs with a strong pitching staff. And so I don't know how they're going to do it, but I think it's very interesting. I'm curious. And as I said back to you and Andrew a few weeks ago, I do think something big will happen between now and the deadline. I don't know what, I don't know exactly when, but I continue to believe that it will.
Well, and I, to finish this off, and I'm just going to say it straight away because there's no, you know, reason to sugarcoat or dance around it. If the team struggles badly on the field the rest of the way, the man who makes these moves, if the owner is sufficiently unhappy with the team that he built to this point, and if they lose 95 or more or something like that, there's not even a guarantee that Ben Cherington, I would imagine, comes back next year if Bob Nutting is sufficiently displeased with the overall performance of this year's team. So that, to me, adds a layer of urgency that I wonder how very bloodlessly it's going to influence Ben Cherington's decision-making if he feels internally like there's a certain, not desperation, but a certain higher level of urgency to be more aggressive because of what might happen if he isn't aggressive this offseason.
I thought about that a lot. I thought about it going back to the offseason when they kept Ben and Derek Shelton. About that, you know, there's an urgency to win in 2025, and how are they going to handle that? And watching Ben, and I don't know him intimately, you know, he's a focused guy. He's a he doesn't give away much, you know. He's got you know, a sense of seriousness about him and focus. And I've been thinking this a lot to your question the last few days, that he's not, I don't believe, the type of personality that is going to do that. And I can't name someone off the top of my head that would, but for him specifically, I don't see him as a guy that's saying to himself, you know, my job's on the line. I'm going to do this come heck or high water to save my tail. I just don't think he's like that. I believe he believes in what he's doing and is going to stay true to the process, and thinks that if he makes move A, B, or C, it's going to lead to this winning in 2026. So he's just not that way. I don't think he's wired that way. He doesn't think, you know, selfishly about his job. He really believes that what he's doing is going to help the organization. And he also believes, too, that he has failed this fan base. I know that for a fact. And that really drives him crazy and upsets him a whole heck of a lot, because he wants to really deliver for this fan base.
He'll have his next chance to do that at the deadline and up to the deadline, because there's no law against making trades. Brownie, appreciate you joining us as always. We'll do this again next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Greg Brown. And he gave a little, he said he didn't need to give Dan Zangrilli pointers. Dan really did get three just absolute, like, bowling shoe ugly performances. And that made me respect Joe Block, who does it every day more. If you get hit with a bunch of those, can you imagine being the Rocky? I know it's bad for the Pirates, but like, let's point and laugh like it's the Simpsons at the team that's even worse. Can you imagine doing Rockies play-by-play right now on the radio? You're trying to paint a picture, you know, theater of the mind, paint a verbal picture, and the team is basically handing you diarrhea to paint with. Ugh.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.